I want to speak to you a few minutes tonight just about our great and awesome God. And I love that song that Lynn just led a moment ago. God is so good. And that really is the concept that we'll be thinking about tonight. I want us to begin in Psalm 63, the first two verses. In this particular psalm, David began by saying, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." It's that concept of the power of God that I'd like for us to concentrate on for a few minutes tonight. He is so very good. And the thing that makes that such a wonderful blessing to us is His amazing, abundant, everlasting, and freely given power. We can see the power of God demonstrated at the very beginning of time as we know it in the creation. He is the ultimate source of power. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5, that God literally spoke light into existence. Listen again to these familiar words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Excuse me. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. I don't know if it's possible for us to really comprehend that measure of darkness. You know, we're familiar and accustomed to living in a lightened world. So to try to imagine a world or a time of existence, better stated, where there was no source of light other than God Himself, that's a concept with which we're just not that familiar. God then said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The power of God is seen not only in speaking light into existence, but in speaking the heavens into existence. In beginning in verse 6 of Genesis chapter 1, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament and from those which were above. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. He brought all of the heavens into existence. Again, it's not possible for us to imagine how things were before light existed, before the heavens existed, before the waters were separate, the firmament was separated and the heavens existed. But God said, "Let there be," and it was. His power is beyond our ability to fully comprehend. In verses 9 through 13, the Bible tells us that God separated the water from the dry land and He brought trees and grass into existence simply by speaking. God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, the gathering together of the waters He called the seas. God saw that it was good. God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And so you see the world with which we are familiar beginning to come together. How? As a result of the power of God. He spoke light into existence. He spoke the heavens into existence. He spoke the trees and the grass and the flowers and all that we see and know on our earth into existence. He spoke all living creatures into existence, according to verses 20 through 23 of chapter 1. And then beginning in verse 24, we see by the power of God, He spoke the beasts of the field and mankind, you and me, into existence. Beginning in verse 24, the record says, God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, him, male and female, he created them. The power of our awesome God is truly beyond description. It led M.D. Babcock to write the words of that beautiful hymn, which we often sing. This is my Father's world. And to my listening ear, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds, their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be won. Pam and I have not done a lot of distant travel. We've gone a few places, but unlike others, we've not done a lot of travel. But those of you who have had the option, the ability to see the beauties of creation that could result only from the power of an awesome Creator. To assume or to think that our world and in fact mankind came into existence as a result of a cosmic explosion millions of years ago makes no sense whatsoever. The biblical record sets forth the power of God in the creation of everything we see and know. God's power was also caused, as you'll remember from the Old Testament account, an east wind strong enough to hold back the Red Sea all through the night as the Israelites passed through on dry ground. After years and years of bondage, they had finally been set free, and shortly after their departure from Egypt, the Pharaoh changed his mind. The armies began to approach and follow them and approach them. When they approached the Red Sea, God, through his power, parted the waters of that sea, and the Israelites passed through on dry ground. Exodus chapter 14, beginning in verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel had lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt so with us to bring us up out of Egypt? The record continues, they're saying, is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. And if you drop down in that chapter to verses 21 and 22, you read that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. God's power was evident in the saving of the Israelites as he held back the waters and allowed them to cross that sea in dry ground, on dry ground. On one occasion, Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 through 15, the power of God made the sun to stand still. His power, we don't even really have the words to describe it. To say his power is amazing is a gross understatement. He is the source of power. In fact, listen to David's description in Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We could go on and on and on tonight from God's word, giving example after example of the amazing power of God. But let these texts at which we've looked thus far serve sufficiently to underscore the fact that God is the source of power. And the reason I've spent the time emphasizing the power of God tonight up to this point is to share this message with you. It is thrilling to know that God's power is available to his children. The power who spoke the world into existence. The power who upholds and sustains everything. The power who placed the sun and the moon and the stars at just the right place. And who placed the earth in the universe in such a position that it rotates at just the right speed so that we enjoy the seasons as we do. That power of God is available to you and to me as children of God. Psalm 55, verse 22, the psalmist said, "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." In the midst of the difficulties of life, whether it's suffering with a disease as a part of a pandemic, whether it's losing a parent or a child or a spouse, or whether it's dealing with any other kind of illness or tragedy in life, whatever is besetting you, God has the power, according to Psalm 55, verse 7, to sustain you. Cast your burdens on him. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4, verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Can he do that? Of course he can. He spoke the world into existence. He is the source of all power. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, at the conclusion of the Great Commission, he made the statement, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." Isn't it amazing to know that the God of all creation promises to be with you all throughout your life? And then Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, that same God, through his Son Jesus, said, "If we are faithful unto him until death, he will give us a crown of life." He has the power to do that. When the Israelites were hungry, God fed them. When they were thirsty, He provided water for them. When they were in bondage, He set them free. When they had no direction, He gave them a law. When they were homeless, He gave them a homeland. When they were beset by their enemies, He conquered those enemies. That same God, as we live for Christ today, will comfort, strengthen, sustain, and protect us spiritually. Let us be comforted by the fact that that same matchless power of God is available to us today as we live for the Lord. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. And who is He who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Paul continues in this passage by saying, in all of these things, whatever life throws at you, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Because God has the power to protect us. And that power is available to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul promises through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God that no temptation has overtaken us except that which is common to man. Whatever it is you're experiencing, whatever temptations with which you struggle, God has the power to help you, and it's not unlike what everyone else is experiencing. It's common to man. But then he goes on to say, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, God can do that. He spoke the world into existence. He is the source of all power. And so every temptation we face, the God of all power gives us the ability to withstand. What an amazing blessing. And then from Philippians chapter 4, one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible, Paul, in the midst of giving so many wonderful applications for Christian living, tells us that if we want to be in a position where our God shall supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, here are three things that we need to do. Number one, Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, pray right. Number two, verse 8. Think right. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are just, whatever things are noble, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Pray, think, and do right. Philippians 4, verse 9, the things which you have received learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And here's the result. The God of peace will be with you. I hope you're strengthened by the reality that the Almighty God, the source of power, the one who has demonstrated His power over and over again, promises to be with us, to strengthen us, to help us, to enable us to overcome temptation, and that He will supply all of our needs through Christ Jesus, His Son. Maybe there's a need with which you're struggling tonight, and you'd like to ask your church family to pray with you about that. We'd be honored to do that. And in a moment, as we sing a song of encouragement, if there's something heavy upon your heart with which you're struggling, if you'll come and share that need, we'll take your request straight to the throne of God Himself. If you're outside of Christ, never having obeyed the gospel, tonight would be a wonderful opportunity and moment for you to be baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and sing.